Lovely. So you work at quite a few institutions in San Francisco, Glenn.
I do.
You got to speak a little closer to the mic. Sorry. It's pirate radio after all.
All right, I'll get close.
How did you come to work in so many institutions? I mean, have you always, you know, been a teacher or what have you? Or did you start more as a curator or a critic?
I started as a critic, writer. I did graphic design work for a number of galleries. But I think the idea of making a living as a critic and an art writer is not an easy thing to do. So teaching actually has done two things for me. It's gotten me into a more public practice where I actually get to work with people, which I actually like quite a bit. And I get regular paychecks.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get, like, you know, teaching jobs are difficult to come by as a kind of real tenure track kind of situation.
Right.
Plus, I actually like knowing what's going on everywhere.
What about yourself, Absara? How did you get into the curatorial practice?
Well, prior to working at SFMOMA, I worked at the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York for about 4 years. And prior to that, I was in school. So I went to the School of Art Institute of Chicago and got an MA in art history theory and criticism there, and then got a BA in art history. I got into it through my love of art history and art.
Yeah. Anything in particular that, can you remember, like, a turning point that really got you in art?
The turning point was Shark Cathedral.
I'm sorry?
Freshman year.
Really?
College. Yeah. That was my first sort of contact with art and art history, and couldn't get enough of it after that point. And then I sort of worked my way up to the present, you know, studying everything from Romanesque and Gothic art to ancient Italian archaeology, and then moving gradually up to the present, and the present is definitely where I want to stay.
Yeah. So at the SF MoMA, what have you guys got going on right now?
We have Anselm Kiefer, which just opened recently, and we have a great show called Charge Space, which we got to do in the community. And we have Kermit Collection on display on the 5th and 7th floors. We have my former colleague, Jill Dossie, just curated work show about Phil Collins, which is fantastic.
Glenn, have you seen that Phil Collins show?
Oh, yeah, I love the Phil Collins exhibition. And I actually just went to see some films the other night at CCA. Is this because he didn't, or he's close to getting the Turner Prize?
So I hear he went superstar, and that stopped his progress in San Francisco.
I don't know.
Let me fix your mic here for the radio audience. Manual labor is going on right now. So let's talk a little bit about Phil Collins. You give me your synopsis, Glenn. What did you think?
I think it's an incredible marriage of kind of pop culture and global concerns. It's a really surprisingly entertaining artwork. I don't know. I could sit there forever. And I actually had my class go, and they loved it also. And seeing some of his other work, I mean, it's very much about a kind of compounding number of people experiencing a similar thing. They showed a really interesting project of Iraqis in kind of screen test scenarios, which I just thought was amazing also. But it's the kind of work you have to really stick with. And I think the piece at SF MoMA is one that really, because it relies on pop music, the Smiths in particular, it really kind of grabs you and keeps you there.
Right.
I would agree. I think it's a work that everyone can relate to and sort of grabs you and takes hold of you. And, you know, I first saw that work in New York in a gallery. And it was, I didn't do the same thing for me then as it does now. I feel like a nonprofit or a museum is an appropriate context to do this work. I think the gallery scene in New York sort of fosters this very quick pace, stop and take things in as you can at SF Home and Out with Bill Collins. And this is a work that you really want to spend some time with.
One of the critiques that I've heard about this, and you know, maybe you can tell me what you guys' thoughts are, is that he's just making fun of Turkish people. And I'd heard people talking about that in SF MoMA. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I can see why somebody would say that, but I don't think that that's what the intent is. I think it's much more of an empathic dialogue that's going on, and I don't think that he's objectifying them in any way. I think it's much more of a wanting to hear these voices and giving them a certain means in order to vocalize their emotions.
Right.
So I would disagree with that critique.
Yeah. Glenn, what do you think?
I also think that it needs to be seen in context, and maybe there isn't enough context. I mean, it is one piece that's being shown there. The fact that this is an artist who's done this project, a version of the project in South America, this other project with Iraqis. He, I think, showed another one of Bosnians in the program the other night. He's an artist who's working globally, and I think, you know, to see one iteration of it doesn't tell the whole story. Plus, I mean, all these people who are in the videotape, which they're singing, they were, you know, they're there of their own volition.
Yeah.
They wanted to do it.
I think, I mean, as far as myself, I sat through the entire thing and then half again to see that lady at the end sing. She, do you guys
Which
remember
one?
The lady at the end with a, yeah, matching eyeshadow and lipstick? Man, that I don't know, it killed me. It totally, the shivers up the spine,
There's
everything.
Several that do that to me. The one, the guy with the scar on the forehead. I don't know if you've seen that him. Brings me to tears every time.
Yeah.
It's really intense.
I was talking to a friend, though, and she didn't care for it much, but it came down to the line of, she's not a Smiths fan. Do you think you have to be a Smiths fan to like that? Are you both Smiths fans?
No, here's the thing. I mentioned I had my class go see this, and I gave them an assignment to kind of answer some questions, and one of them was just that. Do you need to be a Smiths fan? And there was the person in the class who liked it most was not. He didn't even know the Smiths.
Really?
Bizarrely enough. But, yeah. So the answer from my class was you don't have to be a Smiths fan to appreciate that work.
What do you think of Sarah?
I don't know. I mean, I am a Smiths fan, and I think that helps me engage with it a little bit more. You know, the first week that the work was up, I was, you know, walking around the office with all these Smiths songs in my head. We were all sort of singing them in our cubes. but I think that it does help. I don't think that it's, you know, a prerequisite of the work by any means.
No. What's Glenn, tell us a little bit about, you have a show that you just curated at Mills, no?
Yeah, it opened in September.
Let's tell us a little bit about what that was.
It's a show called Particulate Matter, as I mentioned earlier, and it was an exhibition that came about kind of at the last minute, at the beginning of the summer, to open in September. And I think, you know, having to do something quickly actually just made me kind of work with an idea of a snapshot of a moment, and that was the moment looking at, or when Al Gore's film came out, and was really thinking about Particulate Matter, this sort of notion of atmosphere, things changing the atmosphere, things kind of compounding through atmosphere. And I pulled together a group of artists that I'm actually really excited about. I think I'm really happy with how it turned out. I don't think it's a kind of literal iteration of that. It has Andrea Bowers, who has a series of sculptural flowers that are dealing with activism and sort of, you know, seeds of activism. Carl Handel, who has a lot of kind of like images, free-floating images and large-scale drawing, pencil drawing. Chris Finley, who filters lots of stuff through the computer, like incredibly diverse range of imagery. Florian Meyer-Eichen, who's a photographer who completely kind of reworks or fabricates these photographs that look very kind of apocalyptic but beautiful.
Right.
And there are others there, too. Pamela Wilson, who does watercolors that were dealing with ecological concerns and political concerns.
What do you guys, you both curate, so what do you think about the works on paper phenomenon, the explosion of works on paper coming out? Is it purely convenience for people who don't want to lug around canvas, or is it a thing unto itself?
Well, I think it's a medium that is very intimate and can be spontaneous at the same time. It also, I guess, with technology being so prevalent right now and having a work or a medium that's so driven by the hand and can be a little bit slower, I think that might have something to do with it, perhaps. I think it's a medium that enables you to slow down and sort of process things around you, perhaps a little bit more.
That's funny. I would say it's more about doing things more quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's less precious. It's, it's cheaper. You could do it anywhere. But I don't. Is there an explosion? What are you referring to as an explosion? I mean,
I just
has drawing ever gone away?
I don't know if it's so much of gone away, but it. I think it definitely flagged there for a bit with oil paint in. I don't know what the 80s and 90s coming kind of full in again, but I definitely have noticed in galleries, not only in town but in other towns as well, that paper is very large now.
It's also more affordable.
It is, yeah.
For those of us who buy art.
There's some strangers outside now. Trouble.
Hello?
Do you guys, do you both own? Let's go in that direction. What does some of your own collection look like?
I don't have a
collection. No? Do you own any art?
No.
Not a piece? Wow. Any particular reason? Is that a conscious choice, obviously? I think we had briefly touched on this maybe a couple of weeks ago. And do you guys want to go there?
Oh, I don't know. it is an interesting thing. I do have a collection of art, and I know there are discussions about there being a kind of awkwardness. I mean, many of them have been like gifts to me from artist friends, buying things at auctions, or like fundraising things at local institutions, that kind of thing. I don't know. I view it as being part of I find the thing about collecting is that if I love a piece of artwork, sometimes you just get, it grabs you and you just, it feels good.
Yeah.
I feel like it supports artists. I think, I don't view it, the fact that I do write about art, I don't view it as a kind of financial thing, investment kind of thing. Though, again, I think some people disagree about that, but I don't view that it's going to, it's not about cashing in on something. It's about truly liking the artwork and wanting to support a community.
Right. For Apsara, I myself own some art as well. It's mostly friend art, Okay, a couple, pieces that I bought. True. But do you get bummed out? I mean, you look at art every day.
You know what? I don't get bummed out because I'm surrounded by it all the time. And I don't feel that I need it at home as well. That's not to say that there aren't works out there that I would love to have.
Such as?
Oh, I'm not kidding. I don't feel like it's something that I'm missing because I'm with it all the time.
Okay.
What do you think about it?
Well, I think it's hard because obviously the critique is that if a critic or somebody involved, a curator, is collecting art, that they could sway the value of that piece, and that would be perhaps unethical by some standards. For myself, though, I think that obviously people, if you're involved in art that much, that you're gonna love it. And you're going to love it enough usually to buy it and put it on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
but maybe not. I don't know.
I do like posters, though.
So what are some projects that you have coming up, Apsara?
In about a week, I'm going back to New York to finish this project that I've been working on for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. It's a show that's opening at the Whitney Museum at Altria called Burgeoning Geometries, Constructed Abstractions. And it's a group show with six different artists. And those artists are Charles Goldman, Jason Rojness, Phoebe Washburn, Diana Cooper, Jane South, and Tara Donovan. So in this show, I'm sort of looking at geometric abstraction within a post-industrial landscape, and looking at art that, you know, starts as one basic form, and then through this multiplication, it accretes into this monolithic piece. And there are many sort of art historical threads that run through all of the work. But it just so happens that Albers and Moholy Nagy are uptown, which I think is this wonderful dialogue. It's at the Whitney Museum uptown. So I'm really excited about it, and it'll open December 6th.
All right. Glenn, what about yourself? What you got on the plate?
What have I got on the plate? I'm in the midst of, I'm doing a lot of teaching stuff. Currently, even as we speak this morning, prior to being here, I'm finishing off the lecture series schedule for Art Institute for the spring. Working on the graduate exhibition for CCA, which is sounds like it's far away, but there's a lot to do on that. Hopefully, getting some writing done.
Good.
But can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah,
it's more about the kind of, I think people would find it odd in San Francisco that somebody would come from, you know, a gig at the Whitney to San Francisco. I'm curious to know, what's it like being here?
I love it here. I'm from here originally, so I've been looking for an opportunity to come back, and this was a fantastic opportunity that I couldn't resist. But I think that New York is also so much of an industry. The art world is such an industry. It's such a business in New York. And I wanted to take a break from that. And I feel like out here, it's much more community-oriented, which I find refreshing. So I love it out here.
Do you, one big question that many San Franciscans ask, of course, is do you own a car?
I don't.
Good job. Glenn, car?
I own a car, yeah.
That's all right. So the place that I actually met both of you was at a Harold Fletcher lecture, rather.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that three times.
Yeah, let's hear you.
At SFAI. And what do you guys think of Harold? Let's bring him out on the table, shall we?
I'm a big fan of his work. I worked with him on the 2004 Whitney Biennial. And I think that the generosity that his work embodies is really important. And I think it's unlike anything that's really been done before within art. And I think he has a very important message if you listen and you pay attention to his work.
Yeah.
What about you?
I would agree. And I guess I would also add that the kind of sense of humor I think is incredibly important. I mean, and in hearing him talk, I love the kind of storytelling aspect of it. I mean, he just tells good stories. Though I have to admit, I wish he had said a little bit more about kind of his philosophical intentions, which is, you know, the kind of thing I keep finding in terms of organizing talks and hearing. It's like I want people to say certain things that sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm. It's how important do you think it is for an artist, I mean, along those lines, to really explain their motives or their philosophy behind it, or is it more important just to have the thing on display? I mean, do you really like to dig in, or you just kind of more the finished product? What do you guys think about that?
Oh, I think it's always important to hear what they have to say. You know, any sort of conceptual underpinnings that inform the work, or, you know, just to know what they've been reading or thinking about, any sort of influences that there might be. I think it's always very important to know that and to try and get them to draw it out a little bit more if you can.
Is that mostly what you consider your job to be?
To a certain extent, yeah, definitely. Whether it's, you know, in a studio visit or in an essay or through a discussion, yeah, I think that's always the job of the person who's in dialogue with the artist.
Ben, what about yourself? How important is that?
It is important, and it's an interesting thing, and I find that, you know, it's increasingly interesting to me to find out when some artists actually may be having very kind of thriving, interesting careers and can't really speak well about it. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing to me to wonder, you know, is how necessary is it? I think it is to sort of function in the art world, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't make good work without quite knowing, but you got to know something. I don't know if that's quite making sense.
I mean, look at the big beast. Look at Barney. What do you think about him and how he explains his work?
That's a perfect example. He's not good at speaking about his work. He knows exactly what he's doing, but
shotgun like crazy. He wakes up and writes down some stuff.
I think he's thought through it all very carefully.
I think the issue is that it's so kind of internal that it's difficult to sort of, you know, get it out in a way that really speaks to the masses, let's say. But no, he definitely knows what he's doing. He's got, you know, incredible sort of rationale and logic systems.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. We're gonna talk politics very quickly.
Okay.
All right. Now there is some assumptions that our dear president as well. Is of the quiet genius kind. Many assume that he's just, you know, dumb, what have you, but many assume as well that he is a mastermind, a quiet mastermind. What are you guys' feelings on the topic in relation to Matthew Barney?
What are you talking about?
Matthew Barney, George Bush, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see the quiet genius.
No.
He can't speak clearly. And that's a job where you really do have to speak clearly.
Hopefully.
No, definitely. Well, though maybe not, since he's been able to do it. Poorly. Disastrously.
Well, speaking of, you know, politics, what have you, how do you think that our Iraqi war, what have you, the one that we have caused, has influenced modern art? Have you seen anything good come out of that?
Well, I think it's difficult. I mean, I think this is something that everyone's still processing. So I don't know. It's hard to say off the top of my head. I think you know, after 9/11 happened, it was several years before people felt comfortable making work that was in response to it. Actually, going back to Harold Fletcher, I think that the piece that he did about the Vietnam War recently was very powerful. And even though it was about the Vietnam War, it certainly resonates with our current situation.
I'm of the belief that it's more like a tonal. It's affected things tonally in terms of a kind of flavor of work, maybe. I mean, even we could look at the Phil Collins show and even sort of talk mm-hmm. about that. I mean, it's about a kind of malaise and sort of a global kind of position. But yeah, I think that it's more about the tone of artwork that it's reflected.
A little bit harsher, a little bit or more apathetic.
Harsher, I wouldn't say. I think more sensitive, probably more kind mm-hmm. of reflective, mm-hmm. perhaps. But what you don't see is a lot of anger. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. the thing that always surprises me. But I think we all just feel so kind of shell-shocked by everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of people do. I think there's a sense of things being... the outrage is sort of somewhere else right now. There's this thing that we feeling of powerlessness to, that a lot of people experience. That, you know, again, that's something that I think comes through in some work, though I can't think of examples at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, where's the anger?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question, actually. You know, after 9/11 happened and being in New York, I thought that there would be a lot of anger and outrage. Thank you. But, you know, you didn't see it, and I think it's a really sensitive issue, what Glenn was saying. You want to respond culturally in a thoughtful, sensitive way, and sometimes I don't know that anger is the way to go about it. Although, having said that, you know, you think that you, and there is a lot of anger, and I think that that might be justified as well. And you do sort of want to get out there and see it, and so it's a good question.
All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have, guys.
That was a
zipper.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts from you guys to the general public?
Get out there and see some art.
My sentiments exactly.
This is 88.9 FM. My name is Zephyr. This is Frank Prattle. I've had Glenn Helton and Absara DeQuinzio on. Thank you guys both so much.
Thank you.
You.